Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And Wayne Cotto, of course, as that's Pete Gray here, along with Wayne Cotto here on Let's Talk Hookup in the world headquarters here right next to the San Diego Landings. Great show today. John and Chris from McCarty Yacht Sales up in the Newport area and Dana Point. They actually have a facility in Dana Point as well as the cover all of Southern California. I know, Chris, you spend a lot of time down San Diego, right?
Yeah, we have a couple listings here, a few listings here in San Diego, and anything from Santa Barbara south.
Everything.
Yeah.
You're up and down the highway.
We are. We cover some ground. We're ready to go.
But you specialize in fishing boats.
Yes, I would say all power boats. We don't do anything sailboat-wise, and it's all, exactly. and we'll deal with anything, 25 feet and up. And but we prefer those diesel sport fishing charter yachts, commercial tournament-style boats, all of that. We deal with the Vikings. Everything. We deal with the Hatterses, all of it, yeah.
Yeah, up and down. You'll deal with a Parker. You'll deal with an outboard. You'll deal with a Go Fast center console, or a mega yacht with the twin diesel. Does every mega yacht have twin, or do sometimes they have more than that?
I mean, there's some single boats that have single propulsion in them, bigger boats. But I mean, I would say they're fewer and far between. Those are more cruisers, the Nordhavens and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I would tell you that Chris is really more the expert on that stuff than the majority of the guys at McCarty Yacht Groups. He understands them really well.
Oh, like those cruising type boats?
The trawlers,
trawlers. They use up in like a Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
and
some of them are actually rigged to be a cruiser slash a fishing boat as well. So,
Especially the down east boats. He's got a line on that market here on the West Coast, and they're all single, for the most part, single screwed.
Yeah, commercial lobster hull built on the East Coast that, been yachted out or set up for fishing. I've been intimately involved with a few of them and sold a couple of them here in this last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever see triple screw boats like the Royal Polaris?
Not anymore.
No.
No, just the outboard stuff, where you get the triples and the quads and whatnot. But otherwise, I mean, diesel power has become so good. And efficient, but look at the price of fuel, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in combination, you've got these diesel engines that are putting out tremendous horsepower. So the boats are fast. And, for the cost of fuel, you don't need a triple screw boat anymore.
Yeah.
Just that much more maintenance, that much more work.
Right. Speaking of diesel power, Wayne, has a lot of knowledge on this, and I know you guys are involved too, is California is trying to take diesel power not only away from the sport fishing fleet all over Southern California, but also they're attacking private boaters now too, right?
They absolutely are, and we're seeing that, on the new build sides where you have to be tier compliant, and so building a new boat's more and more expensive, and being tier compliant is obviously a challenge. And I think we're tier four now,
but there are no tier four engines.
No, that's the thing.
They don't build an engine for
it. That's exactly right.
You can go to a tier three, and then you take an extension and. We're working to try to figure out if we can get a motor that'll be compliant, Coast Guard certified, and not burn your boat down.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. But if you're not compliant, let's say you buy a boat that is a Tier 2 engine. Is it grandfathered in?
Well, I think today on the private side it is, right? Yes. But it's going to be an issue as we move forward. Yeah.
So in other words, buy your boat today.
If you buy a boat today, you're going to be fine. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of boats here that are not tier compliant. But that's going to be a problem in the future. And whether it affects all of us in the next year or two, I don't believe so. But it's coming, and we need to be aware of it. And
For example, your boat, Pescatore.
Right. No.
We're
tier one, I think. Original power. Now, it's Caterpillar power, and it's commercial duty stuff, and we don't, so the carbon footprint, I don't think, is significant, like it would be on a pair of 16V 4000 MTUs. But this is going to be a problem moving forward. And you know, I was recently up at Nordland, you know, Nordland Yachts, and they're struggling with it, right? As they talk about building new boats, you got to be tier compliant. Well, how do you get there? How do you build a boat tier 4 compliant that's going to have the exhaust emissions and everything else that they want? You're talking about putting another fuel tank in to run DEF, you know, diesel exhaust fluid. It's craziness.
It is crazy. So what we're alluding to is that the California Air Resources Board, who manages the output of the emissions, they went after the harbor craft, and we went through this thing with SAC and the tugboats and the water taxis. Well, now the recreational fleet is on their list, and they're coming in after us to work on emission standards for the recreational boating fleet. It's not just the diesel power. It's going to be the gas powered eventually, too, all of our outboards. But we've been staying ahead of that because we've been working with our other associations like NMMA, which is the Boating Association. They've been working on cleaner emissions, and they actually have alternative fuel that burns cleaner for diesel, and they've been trying to get CARB to authorize that instead of going to a Tier 4 motor. It's clear diesel. And, you know, we're working through that. Now, how do we do that? We have what we call the California Boating Congress coming up at the end of the month up in Sacramento. That is our Marine Recreation Association. It's your boat owners. It's your harbor masters, your port captains, your NMMAs. CCA will be there and others. And we bring legislators in. We bring CARB in, and we talk to them as an industry, as a coalition. We talk to everybody about what's going on. We bring in the boating and waterways groups. We bring in Department of Fish and Wildlife. We'll be going through all of that. And then we are also adding some of the members of the CBC, the California Boating Congress, into the California Legislative Outdoor Sporting Caucus. So we're building a larger coalition to give us more power to talk to people about these issues that we're running into and how they're going to kill our industries or our favorite sports if we don't temper some of the stuff that they're coming at us with.
Yeah. And here's the crazy thing. They're attacking the people that are paying the fees, paying the taxes, the residents of California. What about all the freighters, the cruise boats?
Yeah.
Those things aren't compliant with anything.
Well, you're talking international as well.
Way more, but they're way more polluters than what we're doing. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, yeah.
If they're just not looking at the big picture.
Yeah, get involved, people. You need to get involved. Become a member of CCA and some of these other organizations. It's really important, and we've got to continue to fight.
Yeah, CCA is the key for sure. Hey, Scott Sherman, what's up?
Morning, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good morning, another great show. Happy Easter to everybody.
Happy Easter. Hey, congratulations on your most latest political victory there. Thank you for being there for us.
My pleasure, buddy. Somebody has to keep these guys straight.
Constant battle, right?
Yeah. It's an ongoing battle that, you know, you were just talking about getting involved and having the continuous fight. It's never going to stop. It's just one of those things you have to get up every round and put on the gloves and start swinging, you know. They just want to let everybody know the early bird special for the Southwestern Yacht Club charity bottom fishing tournament ended yesterday, but there's still some room in the tournament to sign up, so don't let that stop you from signing up. We've only got 2 weeks left to go. We've got more people than we had for the entire tournament signed up already this year.
Fantastic.
So make sure you get in there and get in quick because it's filling up.
Yeah, that's great. How many boats you have signed up already?
We're at 29, I think, right now.
And nice.
Last year, we only ended up with 24 and still raised $25,000 for Friends of Rolla. So with the sign-ups with 2 weeks to go, I figure we'll probably be in the 35 to 40 boat range.
Nice. That's fantastic. Of course, that's Saturday, April 18th, Southwestern Yacht Club. And how do we sign up?
Go to swycanglers.org. That'll get you right to the website. You can register right there. Or if you're out and about at one of the local tackle shops, look for our flyer. It's got a QR code you can scan with your phone and go directly to registration, but things are getting signed up. We've got a really good slate of prizes and raffle prizes and auctions and those types of things.
Yeah, and don't forget that even if you're not in the tournament, you can come to the awards banquet on the afternoon of the 18th and participate that way and get into the awesome raffle and eat those fish tacos, because that is all fresh caught fish that they fillet out and fry up and make tacos with them, and it's so good.
Yeah, and Bayside location there at Southwest Yacht Club. It's a great location and just a fantastic event. And 100% of the proceeds raised go to Captain Rollo Kids at Sea, taking kids fishing.
Yeah, and I tell you, talking about taking kids fishing, we have prizes and awards for junior and small fry and that during the competition. And if you want to take your little ones out fishing and get them on some rockfish, pretty good chances that they may walk home with an award and some prizes.
Yeah. Well, hey, Scott, appreciate that. Southwestern Bottom Fishing Tournament, Saturday, April 18th. Again, it's give us the website, or how do we sign up?
Yeah, swycanglers.org. Just go there, click on the registration for the tournament, and you are good to go. It's super easy to sign up. And like Wayne said, you know, even if you don't want to fish, but you want to support the cause and come down for the dinner, there's a dinner-only registration right there on the site as well.
All right. Fantastic. Sherm, appreciate that. Appreciate all you do, and we'll talk to you real soon. Appreciate the call.
All right, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks for that.
All right. Appreciate that very much. And, hey, great show going on here. You want to get through, Jeff is standing by at the fan, 833-288-0973. I have a chance to win these beautiful Costa Pilot House Pro, brand new series of glasses from Costa. And also lots of texts on the Let's Talk Hookup app. You have a good one, huh?
Yeah, Dave from Poway. Hey, morning, guys. Old question. How would you describe the difference between a yacht and a well-appointed boat?
All depends on the language you speak.
Yeah. What do you think, guys? I mean,
when do you consider it a yacht?
I think that's just a term that people like. You know, I own a yacht.
How much did you pay for the boat?
I mean, in the legal sense of the word, they're all vessels, right? They're all boats. They're all vessels. But I guess at some price point, it becomes a yacht. And I'm not sure I could answer where that price point is. But
not as clear as boat versus ship.
Yeah, right. It might be a little bit different.
Are you trying to sell your wife on it? We'll call it a yacht.
Right. I think the majority of the boats that we sell would be considered yachts. Whether they're large or small, they're all yachts, right?
Yeah. Do you, let's say you buy one of your larger boats. Let's say you buy a 100-foot sport fisher that you have on the market, and you don't have any boating experience. You have to have a boat, California boater's card. Do you have to have anything else to drive that boat?
Well, I think it really comes down to insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And so insurance will state whether or not that particular boat needs to have a licensed crew or not. And I would tell you at about the 60-foot in length point, I think that's about when the insurance really starts looking for crew. They want to see a licensed operator. You have to have a really good boater's resume.
Yeah. Okay.
So
insurance is really making the rules.
Yeah.
I'm actually going through that right now with a 66-foot boat.
Okay.
And a buyer, and we're trying to get approvals, and you know, and I've stepped in and said, hey, I can operate the boat for an X amount of time if needed. Till you're signed off on it.
So we kind of train them.
Yeah,
stuff.
And we help out people with that.
We do a lot of that, quite honestly, right? Where the insurance company will say you have to have 50 hours with a trained licensed captain. We can be that licensed captain. And so, you know, the service really starts after the sale, and we're here to help you after the fact.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one from Arnie and Vista. He says, happy Easter. And hearing about diesel engines, and what do you foresee as the future of powertrain performance in the boating world? I mean, any thoughts on that, guys? I mean, are we going electric? You can't get enough power of electric, right?
No. Foss Tugs tried that for a little while. They tried to go all electric with diesel generators, but they ended up burning just as much fuel running the generators.
We have one electric tug down here. Yeah,
and they didn't survive. And with the mechanical failures and trying to find people that were capable to fix, repair, or update, it was a challenge. And they had to
Well, the idea that we're going to go full electric across all of our marinas is impossible because we don't have the infrastructure for it.
That's what we keep talking about.
Yeah. And they want to electrify our marinas. Well, what's going to happen to all the boats because it's the electrolysis is going to just exponentially get worse. And then they're trying to go after, on the other side of that coin, is the Department of Toxic Substance Control is coming after, you know, zinc and all the other things that we use.
Bottom paint.
They've already come after, right? We don't have copper anymore. And yeah, so it's this never-ending battle that we all have to stay vigilant on.
Let's talk for a minute about maintaining a boat. So key when you have a boat, right? You have a boat in the water versus have a boat on a trailer. It's a big difference, right? What are some of the key things you guys see that if you keep your boat in your water that you need to do to make sure that that boat's going to be in good shape?
Well, I mean, I think Chris touched base on it a little earlier, but the heart of the boat is the engine room, and that's where we would like to focus. People will keep their boats clean, but they don't lift the hatch and go down there. They just push the buttons and start them, and they go, and there's a lot of maintenance that needs to happen below decks to keep the boat operational and in good running order. And especially with these newer diesels today, they're high horsepower output engines. They have after coolers that are saltwater cooled. Those have to be dealt with regularly. I'm dealing with a set right now on a Hinckley where the owner didn't know that they needed to be done, and the boat is now overheats and has issues, and there's blooming and patinaing where the green, whatever you want to call it, corrosion, if you will, is pushing out of the coolers at the gasket seals. That all needs to be addressed regularly, and those are the biggest things that we see on the survey lists. Cracking hoses, steering issues, things like that just gets overlooked. The galley's clean, but the engine room's not.
Yeah. So has a nice sofa.
Has a nice sofa. Right?
Yeah. But
yeah. So I get it. You know, people want to keep the boats looking nice, and first impressions are great when you bring mom down to see the boat. But in reality, is it going to fail when we sea trial the boat? And that happens a lot.
Chris, it's super important as a boat owner, especially a larger boat owner, as something that is a diesel boat, a twin engine boat, or whatever, to really know every corner, inch, and cranny of that boat, right?
Yeah.
You're mechanically inclined or not, you need to crawl down in the engine room and you need to look.
Absolutely. And we try to educate people on that. It's like, hey, these are the things that you need to pay attention to. Or, hey, give us a call after the fact and say, hey, am I doing this right? Do I have the right people involved? And that, we really stress that.
That's what you do.
We have the contacts. We have the resources to make sure everything is being maintained. It's like, hey, you're going to go buy a Porsche and drive it through salt water, right?
Yeah.
Got to keep up with that. It's essential. It's not just, you know, as we say, road hard and put away wet. You know,
we're dealing with that right now. We have a big Viking listing that's a beautiful boat, but we know that the coolers need to be done, and we've told the owner time and time again, hey, we got to do these coolers. Well, now that's going to be a point of contention during the surveys, and the coolers alone, it's about a $40,000 job. So who's going to pay for that?
Right,
and those are the kinds of things that we come up with regularly.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to the trailer boat side, so a lot of us are holding on to our little older trailer boats. We didn't have necessarily all of this E85 gas and all of the ethanol issues. Mm-hmm. What's happening with gas tanks and fuel and injectors over time with all of that, right? And there's issues of corrosion or tanks starting to fail, right?
Yeah, and even the dyed fuel that we have to run in the boats, right? That's the mechanics are seeing issues with that, and there are guys actually that have, you know, like say the boat that I run, where we hold 5,000, 6,000 gallons of fuel. There's guys that are going south to buy fuel down there just because it doesn't have the red dye in it.
Right.
Red dye is causing issues with injection pumps and injectors. Yeah.
Huh. Red dye.
Red dye.
Who thought?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they put the red dye in just so they can differentiate between road diesel and
road tax. Yes.
Interesting. All right. You have a good one, huh, Wayne?
Yeah, we got one that's, let's see, this is from John in Whittier. Good morning, guys. Great show. I know you deal mostly with bigger engines, but when talking about outboards, how many hours is too many hours on a used outboard?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, that, how has it been maintained? How has it been run? How has it been used? I mean, you can talk to, I remember hearing the guys that were operating for John at Rancho Leonero down there, and they'd have 5,000 hours on those Yamahas, and they wouldn't do anything, run them right up on the beach, and, you know, and at the end of the day, pull them up with a tractor and call it a day. But obviously maintenance is important. We've seen a lot of those outboards get up there, and that, you know, thousands. My Parker, my 25-foot Parker, I sold, had over 3,000 hours on the
really?
Barrel 150s, and it went to Hawaii.
150 Yamahas?
Yeah. And,
wow.
Yeah, and so is there too many hours? There's two factors there. One is age and one is hours, right? How old is the outboard? Hey, if an outboard's only 3 to 5 years old and it's got 1,500 hours on it, that doesn't scare me. Now, if the outboard's 25 years old and got, you know... you know, 500 hours on it. Well, that would be a red flag to me. So, yeah.
Has it been sitting in salt water its whole life? Versus being on a trailer.
Age and service are more important than hours, in my opinion.
Yeah. Because an outboard can last 5,000 hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, especially
the four-stroke stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, its stuff is really pretty bulletproof. It runs great.
What about a diesel engine?
Same.
I think kind of the same deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, they're these smaller diesels, the Yanmars and some of the smaller Cummins stuff, they're higher horsepower engines. I'm not sure they get the longevity that some of the older stuff would get. But still, if you maintain it and you don't run them, you know, full bore 24/7, they'll last a long, long, long time.
10,000 hours? 20,000 hours?
Easy.
Really?
Look at the Limitless right now.
Yeah.
I mean, with the QSM-11s that are in it, I mean, they got 20,000 hours?
Is that right?
Yeah, they just keep running.
Just keep going.
Just keep running. Change the oil.
Wow.
Do the maintenance.
Do the maintenance. That's the key.
Yep.
Whether it's an outboard or a diesel engine, you got to maintain them, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of these diesel engines, too, the manufacturers, they rate engine life based on how much fuel's been run through the engine, fuel consumption. So, that's a big thing that Caterpillar and Cummins say is how much fuel's been, and they're basing service intervals off the amount of fuel's been run through the engine, too.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Robbie says, what are some of the more popular walk-arounds that you guys think are on the market? Cuddy cabins, whatever, like a walk-around Cuddy. What would you say is if you were going to buy one, Chris, and I know you're a trailer boat kind of guy, what are some of the ones that you really like?
In a trailer boat class?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, Parker's always been kind of legendary with its, you know, with its walk around and its side decks and, you know, having sufficient bow rails. You know, Skipjack has been kind of notorious in that. The larger Blackmans, I wouldn't say a trailer bull, but like, you know, the 29 and above, the Blackman boats are legendary for that. It's just, you know, you got to give it up somewhere. It's either the beam of the boat or you're shrinking down the pilot house.
And look at some of these newer builds that are coming out this way now. The Steiger Crafts, right?
Yes.
What a beautiful boat, and I think they're going to be a direct competitor of Parker, and they're really a beautiful boat.
You're probably going to start seeing more of those in Southern California.
I think we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hope so.
Well, interesting. Scott Sherman just texted us back. He says, from an insurance standpoint, anything 26 feet and over is a yacht.
Okay.
And he would know. He's
all
in
right.
The insurance.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's find out what's fighting. The FishDope.com report with the Angler's Realtor, Yosef Husseini, on the line.
Yeah, and the Got Catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fishman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fishman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check out fishmansprocessing.com and make your reservations today. What's going on, Yosef?
Not too much, guys. Really good fishing starting, it kind of seems like.
Yeah.
Up north in the Channel Island, Santa Barbara Island, they're already getting signs of sea bass and yellowtail up there. A few were caught on Thursday. Santa Monica Bay, the fishing for calico and sand bass is really good. Rockfish sculpin, whitefish, everything is pretty much excellent. Palo Verde down to Newport Beach, there's great rock fishing. Sheephead are chewing really good at Isers Reef. There was some really good halibut fishing. It slowed down a little, but they're still there biting. Catalina Island, there is still some smaller yellowtail on the front side. Most are being caught on fly line sardines. There are a small number of barracuda that are showing up, but they mostly seem to be legal size around Empire Landing and Hen Rock. Bonita are scattered from Long Point to the east end. Most of these fish are under 2 pounds, but they're biting. Backside is mostly quiet for yellowtail. There is some signal of large sea bass, mainly near the west end. San Clemente, outside shot at some early morning yellowtail. That bite's starting to happen from 3 a.m. to sunrise in about 130 to 150 feet of water. After that, it's game over. La Jolla is starting to show some real signs of yellowtail. We're getting reports of breezers being seen inside the MPA. There are also breezers popping up, just not as many at Northwest Corner in that area. There is some good halibut fishing to be had off of the wrecks over in Mission Beach. So you guys have pulled up some nice sized fish.
Ooh.
Coronado Islands, kind of bad news, but we expect it to happen at some time. Water's rolled and is down to 59 degrees. It is already warming up. That was earlier in the week. Rockpile and SKR seem to be the best signal still down there. They are coming across some 8 to 12 pound jumbo bonita exact, as well as the yellowtail being caught over there. Salta Puedes area, still good for some giant bonita down there, 8 to 15 pounds. And southwest of San Martin Island, from about 170 miles to 250 miles from Point Loma, there is some decent 20 to 50 pound grade bluefin that you're hearing about guys catching. And the bite's not just nighttime anymore, it's continuing to the daylight hours. That's all I got for you guys.
Gotta love that. And now what's going on in the real estate game?
Same thing, man. Just still moving. Slow down a little bit over spring break here, which is kind of weird because it usually speeds up. But we're moving and grooving, man. It's, you need to sell a house, it'd be a good time to start getting it prepped now, because I think we're going to have a really busy season this year.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, and if somebody wants the Gangler's Realtor, how do we get a hold of you, Joseph?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169, at the Angler's Realtor on social media. Go to my website, sportsmansrealty.com, and if you'd like a free home evaluation, go to socalhomeeval.com.
All right. Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate that. Of course, fishdope.com, you save $30 on a new membership using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. $30 code for that, fishdope.com, which you got to have, fishdope.com, as we get head into the season here. Appreciate the report, Joseph, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Have a great day, guys. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Hey, and with that, Gamakatsu is much more than just the best hooks on the market. Gamakatsu G-Boxes have your tackle storage needs covered with multiple designs and styles, G-Bags, G-Cases. Plus, Gamakatsu fillet knives are amazing. With the fishing season heating up, make sure you have a good supply of Gamakatsu Nautilus circle hooks in all sizes, as small as number fours. Check Gamakatsu.com for more details.
Hey, John in Huntington Beach has a great question. He says, awesome show. I have a question for John and Chris. What are the things to look for when you find a good deal on a trailer boat on the East Coast? Do you guys find good prices out there? That's a good question, because a lot of us have looked, on the East Coast or Florida or Texas or beyond, right?
Yeah, inventory's typically a little more available on the East Coast, and we kind of use that 10% rule. It's, you're probably going to save that, but you're also going to have, to get the boat out here, truck it, ship it. And I recently got some shipping quotes in the last 30 days on bringing boats from the East Coast to the West Coast, but all that's gone out the window with the cost of fuel.
I was going to say, the cost of fuel just killed that.
Yeah. So you have to take that into consideration. And then also we would take a hard look at any East Coast boats, right? Was it involved hurricane area? Could they be a potential hurricane boat, insurance boat, something like that? So it's putting a hard, deep dive into an East Coast boat. And has the boat lived in the water? That's another, they get in those tropical climates.
If you think our work it's salty and corrosive here, buy an East Coast boat.
Way worse.
Or a Texas boat.
Yeah.
I was going to say, with all the hurricanes that have come through and the water damage and with all the storms, do they have the same standards of salvage titles and stuff like that on boats? How do you know?
Good question for Scott Sherman.
Oh, yeah.
When I was looking for a boat and finally ended up with the field research at 36 Pacifica, thank God. I went to Texas, and I almost bought a boat. It was like a 34 Riviera. And fortunately, I took an experienced broker like yourself with me on that trip. And I'd highly recommend if you're going to buy a boat, you have to look at it, right? You got to go look at it. You
John
can't
just did that.
Yeah. You can't yeah. sign up and see. And you got to go with somebody who really has the eye, like John or Chris or something like that, and go see it. Because it's surveyed out fine. Surveyed great. The survey came out. It was fantastic. It was a looked like a fantastic deal. But the broker saw something on one of the engines. He says, like what you were talking about, the leaky
after cooler
or something like that. Yeah. He says, don't buy that boat.
Yeah.
He says, you're going to be nothing but troubles with that engine.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful that I did that and spent a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
But it saved me a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah, especially the Texas boats. It's hot. It's salty and corrosive.
Yeah.
And they have to run a long ways to get to the fish, right?
Yeah.
So they're running 70, 80 miles offshore in typically pretty rough weather. And those boats are usually pretty rough.
Beat up.
More often than not, when we go to Texas, we're disappointed. We don't like.
Looks like such a great deal on paper, right?
Yeah, because they sell things cheap. And I mean, I was just there a few months ago on a Riviera 47 sale. We ultimately walked away from the boat, but when you first impressions, you're like, the boat looks beautiful. It's nice. When you start digging, you really start finding all the damage.
Yeah.
And we ended up buying a boat out of Cabo San Lucas. That's really nice. It's been well cared for and it ultimately was it's already on our West Coast. It was just a better deal all around.
Do you find the same in Florida and the Carolinas and stuff? Do you find that same issue with
I think the Florida boats tend, in my opinion, to look a little bit better. They're a little bit more detail oriented. But you've got to be aware of the hurricane boats.
Yes.
And you need to know what you're looking for, because you can Band-Aid up a lot of that stuff and you don't see it unless you know where to look and how to look for it. But those boats you got to be aware of. So that's another reason why you want to have a really good broker and you want to have a really good survey.
I do a lot of video viewings too. So pre-spending money out of pocket, we'll do a video viewing. We'll ask specific questions. This is prior to doing that, we'll say, hey, these are the areas I really want to see on the boat, and we can get a pretty good sense of what we're diving into before you're spending a lot of money out of pocket.
Yeah. Fly out there and survey the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're asking specific questions and we want records. And
What are some of the things you see in a video thing that he's like, hey, don't buy this boat?
Oh, yeah. So just basically in the machinery space, we're just seeing neglect and lack of maintenance and deferred maintenance and things like that. It's like, okay, now we can see what we're really getting into.
Yeah. Color variations in the gel coat where it's been repainted or touched up, where a whole side has been damaged because of a hurricane, and we can see evidence of it that maybe the average guy doesn't see.
Uh-huh.
Things like that. Looking behind cabinetry and some of the taping and whatnot around bulkheads and things like that, and you find cracking and stuff like that. The average guy doesn't see. Often the broker or the surveyors don't point it out. That kind of stuff.
Do you guys do the old tap along the helm?
I think percussion sound, the surveyors do that, but we definitely believe in that. I mean, there's guys now, some of the newer surveyors are going to the moisture meters. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of the moisture meter. I think that there's a lot of false readings. We have a really, really nice center console, a Boston Whaler 22 center console that just fell out of contract because a guy was using a moisture meter. And he literally didn't know what he was looking at. And there's so many nuances to how boats are constructed.
Right.
Whether it's solid fiberglass or it's foam filled.
Exactly.
All these different readings show differently, and he wasn't educated enough to know that. And he squashed a deal because of it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Would you ever buy a boat, whether it's a trailer boat or a big yacht, sight unseen? Would you just buy it based on a video survey or pictures or what somebody's survey said?
No.
Nope.
No.
I mean, at the end of the day, you still got to have it surveyed to get insurance on it.
Right.
So, but yeah. No.
Go look at it.
And
spend the money. It's
right.
It's,
and have good representation.
And have somebody with you that really has the eye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The problems can be significant if you don't do your due diligence correctly and you have the right team behind you.
Yeah. And you guys will do stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if you're representing somebody, whether it be $100,000 trailer boat or a $1 million yacht, you'll do that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. As you can hear, boy, we're talking a lot of great information today. I know there's going to be tons of questions. Hey, don't forget, you can call in 833-288-0973. Hey, and when we return, we'll be taking more text calls and we'll be giving away one lucky caller or texter. We'll win a pair of the Costa sunglasses, the all-new Pilot House with the matte black frame and the gold mirror lenses when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube and Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
The fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing, in Mission Bay. Or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Mapleview and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Experience the magic of Haida Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada, at Haida Gwaii Safaris, formerly Queen Charlotte Safaris. Hi, I'm Valerie Hopebridge. 25 years ago, I fell in love with these incredible islands, breathtaking scenery and wildlife, warm community, and truly phenomenal fishing. That passion inspired me to open my own fishing lodge. Just steps away from the Sandspit Harbor at Haida Gwaii Safaris, you will be fishing pristine, unpressured waters for Chinook salmon, halibut, giant lingcod, and more. Plus, be surrounded by untouched beauty and wildlife. All of us at Haida Gwaii Safaris have exciting news. We now have our own charter flight to and from Sandspit out of Vancouver, making your trip easier than ever. We pride ourselves on creating unforgettable adventures that turn the first-time guests into longtime friends. You will come for the fishing and you'll come back for the memories. We are booking now. Please call 1-877-815-2892 or visit us at qcsafaris.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Haida Gwaii Safaris, where unforgettable memories are made one catch at a time.
That to-do list isn't going to do itself. That's when the 2026 Motor Trend Truck of the Year Ford Maverick comes in. Agile, nimble, equipped for wherever you go, with available hybrid all-wheel drive, and capable of taking on what you need. With the flatbed storage system and a maximum available towing capacity of 4,000 pounds, get your ideal combination of capability and versatility to handle whatever comes your way. Get it, haul it, make it. Ford Maverick, turning a to-do list into a to-done list. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer to take a test drive today.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Boy, we're just cruising along here and answering a lot of questions. Remember, hey, if you want to call in, 833-288-0973, we're taking your calls and your texts. And remember, if you turn in a text, don't forget to put your name and your phone number so you can be in the drawing for this pair of Costa sunglasses.
Yeah, fantastic. Jeff Hamby at The Fan wants me to remind everybody that today, Padres and Red Sox from Wrigley, or not Wrigley Field, but actually from Boston there today. Yeah. 9:35 is a pregame, and 10:35 is the first pitch this morning. So right after Let's Talk Hookup, 35 minutes after we go off the air, you're going to hear Padre baseball today right here on The Fan. So you don't want to miss out. Great game yesterday, the Padres. Great finish, man. They looked like they were going to blow it, and then They came back true to life the way they should be. So let's hope we see more of that from the Padres this year.
Absolutely. Hey, one thing that came up earlier in the show, you talked about your charter boat, which is 105 feet. There was a question of, is that a six-pack operation, private charter, that you can do with you guys?
No, this is actually a privately owned yacht, and they were actually clients of mine on my charter boat back in the day. So, you know, these are some of those clients that you build relationships with, and then they ended up coming to me to buy a boat, and I found this boat, and then they twisted my arm and said, hey, we'll buy it if you come to work for us.
Wow.
And here I am, 23 years ago.
23 years later.
Yeah.
Wow. And how long did you run the Finn Fever?
20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
20 years of sport fishing, you know, and that was back to back. We, you know, we ran overnight trips back to back to back to back, and that was
mostly Catalina.
No. Mostly, I would say we fished Clemente the majority of the time, or we were offshore fishing tuna. And that was back in the day when the albacore were biting. So,
albacore.
Yeah.
Plugging the back of 105 as a private owner. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the size of the Independence or something.
Yeah. What's your favorite kind of fishing to do?
I mean,
you get to go all over the place, Alaska, Mexico. What's your favorite kind of fishing?
You know, I think as I get older, I like the warmer weather. I love Alaska. Alaska's beautiful, but, I mean, it seems like we go to Alaska every 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
But we love to be offshore in our shorts, right? Fishing, you know, fishing tuna and offshore fishing. A lot of time in Mexico, fishing the outer islands or wherever we end up being. So,
where's the furthest place you've ever taken that boat?
Oh, I think the Hurricane Bank.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been out there plenty, you know, and back when there was less pressure and, you know, you could sneak out and you could fish Clarion or you could fish, you know, outside the buffer zones of all those areas, right? Roca Partida and everything.
You were
else.
Probably running the boat when you could still get in there legally too.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and I would tell you if we ever had any issues down there, it would just be with the dive boats and everyone's vying for position, right? But, you know, it's pretty awesome down there. There's just no traffic, right? And the fishing's insane, so.
How far down the Mexican coast have you been?
With this boat, I mean, we've been down, we've spent a lot of time in Barra de Navidad and that Manzanillo area. But I would tell you the majority of the time we base out of Cabo or we go up into Loreto, Puerto Escondido. Yeah.
Puerto Escondido, pretty nice place.
It's really nice, right? And there's another place where you don't have a lot of traffic, right? So you can go fish all those outer islands right there, and you're kind of there by yourself. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What about you, Chris? What's your favorite place to go fishing?
Probably Mag Bay.
Mag Bay?
Yeah.
Fishing the Wahoo down there, and,
right?
You know, one of the things I really enjoy is actually fishing the beach down there for the yellowtail.
Really?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Really
it's
good hot. Fishing.
Yeah. So
you spent a lot of time fishing Catalina, though. I mean, you lived up in Catalina. You spent a lot of time fishing Catalina Clemente.
Yeah.
Any memorable trips you remember from fishing Catalina Clemente?
Oh, just, you know, the full rack sea bass fishing. You know, when you're loading up the tankers.
Yeah.
that's pretty phenomenal, but. Still, it's just, you know, hey, surface iron yellowtail fishing, and I don't know, that's pretty hard to beat.
Hard to beat that.
Done that on your boat.
Yeah, we've had good fishing on my boat. Yeah, no doubt. That was a fishy boat, that boat.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Pacificas. You had a Pacifica 44. They catch fish.
They're legendary West Coast sport fishers, man. They're great boats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're pretty bulletproof. I mean, these boats are 40 and 50 years old today, and
right, and
you know, with some love, you bring them back, they'll keep going forever. They're super well built, super strong.
Are there any of those available on the market today? Can you actually buy a Pacifica?
Yeah, there's a 50 available right now that I think if somebody had the bandwidth to put some love into it, it'd be a really, really nice
boat.
That's
the key.
Yeah.
I put a lot of love in that 36 that I had.
It's a labor of love, and it opens your checkbook for sure.
A lot, But once you finish it, there's no better boat.
There's no better boat.
Yeah, it's the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
It's like
But it's really no different than any of this. I mean, some of this newer stuff's faster and maybe a little more fancy on the inside, but, I mean, those are great boats, and if you put the love into them, they'll be around for a long time.
Yeah, look at fishing with Matty Barlow out of Dana Landing, right?
Yeah. And we just sold Patella's boat, and it's going through a full refit right now, and it's going to be beautiful.
So Todd's going to charter it?
I don't know if Todd's going to. I think he probably will, huh?
I don't know if it's going to be an advertised charter boat. It's going to be more of a...
like a private charter
boat. Business, you know, for their business,
for their
personal.
Business, those are fishy guys.
So going back to the trailer boat guys, when you're looking at a used boat, there's a lot of unseen things. You're steering. There's still guys that are on a cable still on steering. You still have fuel issues. You have plumbing issues. electrical, you know, all the wiring in there. How do you look for that? What do you do to, because it's all hidden inside of the boat. How do you maintenance that?
We'll gain access to it. We'll be able to see it. We'll be able to point it out. And any proper survey done will identify these items as well. But I like to say we can do a good pre-survey before we start losing a lot of money out of pocket and, you know, find out at the bottom of the ninth that, hey, we should hit bump the brakes on this. So we like to do a pre-survey and put a good set of eyes on it before, you know, we've got expenses involved.
Start to spend the money.
Yeah. So going to that one, we got Joe from La Mesa asking on a text here, question for you guys, the captains. I have a 19-foot center console. We'd like to fish the Coronado Islands and inshore kelp action. He's looking to replace his trailer. What's the best way to go? Steel, aluminum, galvanized tandem, single axle trailer? Thanks.
So I would say, what is the manufacturer of the boat? Is it a production boat? Is it? I would go to the manufacturer and see. Maybe they already have a mold, if you will, for the trailer, and have a manufacturer producing that trailer. So that's going to save. So you're not building a trailer from scratch. And then what is the weight of the boat, right? So aluminum obviously is ideal for a smaller boat because of the corrosion resistance to it. But if somebody's already built a trailer and, you know, you can call these magic trailers on the East Coast, and if you've got, say, a Key West boat or a maritime skiff, something like that, they already know exactly how to build a trailer for that boat. You can get a brand new trailer done.
It's already done.
Yeah.
Now, at PCS show, they had West Coast Trailers.
Yes, right near West Coast Trailers.
They built beautiful trailers.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they build both aluminum as well as galvanized, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's better in your thought, galvanized or aluminum?
It depends on the weight of the boat. How big of a boat are you towing around? You know, are you towing around a 29-foot Radden?
Would you go galvanized then?
Potentially, but a great resource on that, our old friend Harold Davis.
Harold.
He knows more about trailers than
no most
these guys that build them.
Yeah, for sure. You had a Davis boat.
I did have a Davis boat, yes.
Yeah.
Good boat. We just sold a Grady White 336 Canyon that had an aluminum trailer.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, and it's a 14,000-pound boat.
Wow.
It's tiki for the whole
thing.
It had
aluminum.
Aluminum trailer, yeah. And it's a big trailer.
Yeah. For a 33-foot boat?
Yeah, for a 33-foot boat.
How many, is that twin engines on it?
Yeah, twin Yamaha 425s.
Wow.
Big boat.
Nice boat. Yeah, for sure. Hey, John LaMesa says, love hearing Wayne on the show. He has a great radio voice. You need to have him on more often. Hire that man. Bring him back out at retirement. I did.
Sold.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're going to hear a lot of Wayne here in the next couple of months. I can promise you that. April, May, June, there's going to be a lot of Wayne, a lot of Rick, a lot of Corey, and not a lot of Pete. Because I'm going to spend a lot of time in Montana.
Pete's going fishing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
So funny. JJ in Ocean Beach. He writes, good morning, everybody. What's the what an interesting, cool show. I love hearing about these boats. Question is for the captains, what is the most amazing and coolest thing you've seen on the water?
Go ahead.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, I could tell you the Alaska. I mean, when you're up there fishing Alaska and you've got you're fishing salmon and you've got giant bear right next to you on the beach, you know, the whales bubble feeding, the orcas, I mean, incredible stuff, right? To Guadalupe Island where you're tuna fishing in Tuna Alley and there's a 18-foot great white shark swimming next to the boat. I mean, that's kind of, I've lived a very charmed, blessed life and seen some pretty amazing things.
Yeah.
You know, giant tuna, giant marlin, all of that. So.
What's the largest marlin you've seen?
We caught an 800-pounder at the Cape.
Wow.
A big blue. But a lot of blacks and blues in that 400 or 500-pound range stuff. And
wow.
So, yeah, some pretty big stuff. And you look at some of the stuff, you know, like what Lasley's doing, you know, with the Bad Company and stuff on the,
crazy.
You know, the Granders. It's huge, yes. It's an amazing fishery.
Yeah.
What it would be like to have that fleet, huh?
Oh boy, we've sold Anthony two or three boats. I'm looking at one of them right now in the Delta over there. But
at the yard, yeah.
Yeah, it's over at the yard right now. But anyway, yeah, he's a pretty amazing guy.
Yeah, for sure. He has a passion.
He has a passion.
Hey, John in Fullerton says, what can you expect for a flat, is there a flat fee on a survey, or what can you expect as far as a survey to cost on a boat?
As industry, I mean, it can be $30 to $35 a foot. It kind of seems, depending on if there's travel involved, you know, something to that effect. But yeah. And you've got haul out fees as well, right? So you've got to take it to a yard, and they call it a haul and hang. So we'll do a survey while they leave the boat in the sling. So kind of depends on where you are, what surveyor you want, and but industry standards at $30 to $40 a foot.
Do you have surveyors that you work with regularly that you know, I want you this surveyor to work on this boat?
100%. Yeah. We make our recommendations to, we provide the buyer or the seller, but typically the buyer will give them a handful of surveyors that we work with on a regular basis. But a lot of it boils down to some of these surveyors are so busy, who's available during the time frame while we have the boat in contract.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're always looking at guys that are NAMS or SAM certified, right? So there's a lot of guys out there that get their survey license via the internet, and those guys tend to not know quite as much as the NAMS or SAMS guys. And the insurance companies like to see that NAMS or SAMS certification. So we tend to use those guys all the time.
Although the insurance company wouldn't accept it, I think you guys are the best surveyors. If you're representing me buying a boat, and we've been looking for a boat a long time, I think you guys have the eye, you guys have the knowledge to be able to pull that off. But you still need a surveyor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What about a trailer boat? Okay. You represent guys for trailer boats, 25, 28-foot boat. You're going to buy a trailer boat. Do you need a survey on that boat?
Insurance companies now are requiring surveys on everything. Just about everything. Yeah. In fact, I had this – one of our insurance resources, I had this conversation the other day. I said, you know, what's the cutoff as far as size and the potential year? And it's getting so strict now that every insurance company, unless the boat's like within 2 or 3 years old, just plan on getting a survey done on the boat.
Is there ever a boat is too old? I mean, we got some pretty antiques out there right now.
Yes, yes, but it boils down to construction too, right? Is it a fiberglass hull? Did it get a clean survey? There's certain underwriters that will not deal with aged out boats. I'm dealing with a boat right now. It's a 1970. It's in contract, and we're having to navigate that as we go. But I mean, likely we'll get it insured. But it's we have to deal with the underwriters that will handle it.
And what about like the older outboards, right? Because there's some pretty old outboards out there now too.
Yeah. A boat's not going to get not insured because of the age of the engine, but it's more of the hull and the condition of the hull.
Yeah, when we go to survey, we always have a hull surveyor, and the insurance companies, that's a requirement with the insurance companies. They don't require a mechanical survey, but we always want a mechanical survey done as well so that our clients know exactly what they're getting involved with, both mechanically and with the hull structure.
Because that's pretty important.
Yeah.
The mechanics.
It's the heart of the boat.
Can you do a mechanical survey on an outboard?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We do them all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
You just have a mechanic come out and just run tests on the engine?
Yeah. Josh at Pacific Outboards does them all the time. West Coast Marine does them all the time.
That's key.
Yeah, and quite honestly, having a guy that's certified in that particular flavor of engine is really important. As an example, we had another boat not too long ago that went through survey with a guy who is a mechanic, but he's not a certified mechanic, and he missed a ton on a Yamaha. So, and then Josh came in and was able to straighten out
what was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, as you can hear, we're coming up at the end of the 2 hours on this show, fastest 2 hours in radio. When we come back, one of the boys is going to flip the coin to find out who's going to win this pair of Costa sunglasses. We'll be right back on 97.3 The Fan. Let's Talk Hookup App and YouTube and Facebook Live.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodation, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hey guys, this is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and BD Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market, and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com and we'll see you on the water.
Adding a fish finder to my fishing kayak completely changed the way I fish. I'm Logan from Fastlane Kayaks, and I've been fishing from a Hobie kayak for over 4 years now. For about half that time, I was fishing without a fish finder. And trust me, it's called fishing blind for a reason. But don't just take my word for it. Here at Fastlane Kayaks, we've been installing and using fish finders on Hobie kayaks for over 25 years. Over all that time, we've done our fair share of trial and error to find the best mounts and methods for rigging a kayak. So instead of trying to learn 25 years of experience through endless YouTube videos, just drop your kayak off at Fastlane. Every Fastlane install is clean, user-friendly, and built to last in real saltwater conditions. One way we do that is by housing all the fuses and electrical connections inside a small waterproof case. Keeps everything protected, organized, and easy to access. Whether you're looking to add a fish finder, install a motor, or upgrade into a brand new fishing kayak, come by Fastlane Sailing and Kayaking in Mission Bay, or give us a call at 619-222-0766.
Shimano makes the finest fishing reels on the market, but they are always striving to make the best even better. Introducing the new Tranx 400B reel. This powerhouse low-profile bait casting reel is built for throwing big baits at the toughest fish that swim. Core solid and Haugany body technologies deliver unmatched rigidity and flex-free cranking, ideal for heavy loads. SVS Infinity MD Tune Braking offers precise control for casting heavy baits. X-Ship boosts gear durability and casting distance, while a Cross Carbon Drag ensures smooth, reliable performance. Versatile across salt and freshwater applications, the redesigned Tranx 400B is a vital tool in the pursuit of trophies. If you're looking to take your bait casting reel to the next level, check out the all-new Tranx 400B at your local Shimano dealer.
Welcome back to Life Lock Hookup. Well, here we go. Chris is going to flip the coin.
Text your caller.
Hey, we got a texter today, and the texter will be Robbie from San Diego. Robbie, congratulations.
All right, congratulations, and you guys, such a great show. Thank you for coming in on Easter. Thanks for all of our listeners for joining us on Easter. If somebody wants more information about buying a boat, selling a boat, getting more information about McCarty Yachts, how do we do that, John?
Hey, give us a call at McCarty Yachts. The phone number at the office is 714-267-7364, or you can call Chris.
Yep, call me at 310-529-0491. We're happy to give you a consult and give you a market valuation of your boat, too.
McCartyYachtGroup.com. Give us
McCartyYachtGroup.com.
Yep, check it out on the web.
All kinds, and specializing, again, in fishing boats.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the key.
Yep, power boats, yeah. Motor yachts.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about a boat, you're thinking about looking at a boat, grab these guys, take them down to the boat. You know, that's really important. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Thank you, Wayne, for being here today. Thank you all for being out there. Thanks to Jeff and the fan for being here on Easter Sunday. Don't forget Padre Baseball at 9:35 this morning. Next Saturday, Ken Frankie and Maria Diaz from Sport Fishing Association California. Next Sunday, Captain Conway Bowman from Bowman Blue Water and Rick Forrest from Stroud Tackle. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right back here on Facebook YouTube Live. the Let's Talk with the Map and 97.3 The Fan.